Christ has done in someone's life by having them give their testimony. And then we have a time of self-examination for the present, and then I'll present a challenge from God's Word from that. And then he says to do this until the Lord comes. And so there's the future aspect. We look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. I hope you do. I know I do. Do you? Amen. Okay. And so we'll sing a verse about the Lord's return at the end of our communion service. But to get things started, I've asked Brother Eddie Woodfield to come and to give his testimony of salvation. And so, Brother Eddie, if you would come on up. Now, you'll note that he has his Oklahoma tie on. Oklahoma played Oklahoma State yesterday. And you can tell there's a lot of love between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State because there wasn't much tackling. It was a pretty high-scoring affair. A lot of brotherly love in Oklahoma. But we're thankful for Brother Eddie, and so if you'd come and give your testimony.
No, yesterday was a bad day for us. We just squeaked by 1 point. Now, the pastor's team, which we're kidding each other because we're headed to beat each other for our conference, West Virginia and Oklahoma. So he didn't have mercy on TCU yesterday, trust me. But I do believe Oklahoma better go back to practice and the fundamentals if they think they're going to beat West Virginia. I think it's going to be pretty much a one-sided ballgame. Oklahoma thinks you just score, 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 score. They forget on the other side you got to stop them from scoring, and they forget that. Anyway, I want to share with you my testimony. Pastor says, try to make it 5 minutes. I'll watch the clock up here. I'll talk fast if you'll listen fast. Amen? I was raised in different denominations. My mother and dad were in the denomination that believed that if you were saved, that you could lose it, and things you had to do to prove that you were saved. And I was always confused. And then after a while, I got married. I got back from the military. I spent some time in Vietnam, 2 years. Came home, got out of the military, and met my wife, Diana, and tried to impress her folks, you know, got acquainted, and we got married. Her pastor never asked me. He never asked me. Now, this is why the pastors like to talk to you if you're getting married, if I was saved. So he asked me, he says, you're a Christian? I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. And I said, what do you think I am, a heathen? And so he just got quiet. But Dinah's dad was a deacon in the church, a treasurer, and made good money, gave good money to the church. Anyway, I started hunting with him and fishing with him because his son was only in the first grade when we got married, his only son. So I become his hunting and fishing buddy. And one time while we were out, I knew it was coming. He finally said, Eddie, how about coming to church Sunday? And I said, Gerald, I've been telling you all along, I don't care for your church. He said, we have a new pastor. He said, surely you're a fair man. Well, we all take pride in being fair. I said, yeah, I'm a fair man. He said, well, I'm going to ask you to come one time, and if you don't like the pastor, I will not ask you again. Well, that Sunday morning, we got up early. Dinah said, what in the world are you getting up so early for? I said, we're going to go to Sunday school. We're going to go to church. So I hooked to your dad. I can say, I still don't like it. And he'll leave me alone. I can relax while I'm hunting and fishing with him. He'll stop because he's a man of his word. But little did I know, when I went to church that morning, there was people in that church that were praying for me. It's a men's group that met every Sunday night. They were praying for me. Now, while they're praying for me, God is letting my world around me collapse. Several things happen. Several things. And I one time went out and parked my car and cried. And I asked God, what in the world are you trying to do to me? Little did I know he was trying to drive me to my knees. And so finally I went to church that morning. And for the first time in my life, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I heard for the first time in my life that he died not for you, he died for me. You know, a lot of times they like to think he died for the world. That's fine, but it's a personal thing. He died for me. I just couldn't believe it. I said, no, he wouldn't die for me because I was raised in a pretty bad home, pretty bad life. I said, he won't die for me. He didn't die for me. I said, you know, and to try to do good to earn it, I said, forget that. Eat, drink, and be merry because you're going to burn in hell. That was what we used to sing when we was drinking and was in Vietnam. But, you know, I went there that day, and I sat over about halfway back on this side of the church, and he made it so simple, how Christ died for the individual. He died for you. He said, if you have a Bible, put the pronoun you or me right there. He died for me. And it began to reach my heart. But needless to say, I was stubborn. Been a stubborn child all my life, my mother and grandmother said. But I went out and I just couldn't take this. But the next Sunday, I'd find myself back over there listening again. And I just go out and I had a car and I'd go out to the church parking lot and I'd burn my tires out of the church parking lot onto the street and away I'd go. And I told my wife, I said, your preacher thinks he's the only one going to heaven. And so after 5.5 months of wrestling with God, I got down in my home one night after bowling, came home late, shut the bedroom door, got down on the knees of my bedroom floor, and I told Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner. There is no, we're not even going to argue about that. I know that I deserve to go to hell. And I said, if I was you, I'd put me in hell. But the Bible has said, and the preacher has said, for 5.5 months, you died for me. You died for me. God gripped my heart that night there in my bedroom on my knees. And I bowed my head and I said, I can't do this. I finally laid on my floor. I got down as low as I could get and got my face on the floor. And I said, I want you to forgive me of my sins and I want to take you as my personal Lord and Savior. Now, lights didn't go off, bells didn't ring, but I got up. I went to bed and for the first time in months, I slept the entire night. I got up. I came home that afternoon after work and told Diana, I says, you go in here and take all the alcohol out of the refrigerator and out of the cabinet and throw it in the trash. And I said, before you throw it in the trash, pour it down the drain. She said, why? I said, I ain't giving garbage men this stuff. I said, no, but I poured it down the drain. And then the next few days, Diana began to say, something's happened to you. And I said, yes, this has. She said, you're not the same person. I said, no, I'm not. And I said, I've received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I said, God has given me a new heart and a new hope, a new life, a new opportunity to serve Him. And I want to serve Him more than anything in the world if it means that I die. Well, He's allowed us to serve Him 48 years as missionaries. We've been in several different works God has helped us start. We have seen gobs and gobs of people saved and baptized and going to full-time service. And we thank the Lord for the abundance of the fruit of the ministry. Now, we've been through some trials, but you know what? God was there. We've been through some blessings, and God has been there. But the thing I'd like to challenge you is this. If you'd like to have your burdens relieved, and you'd like to have a new lease on life, it's there for you. I found mine in the bedroom on my face. Anywhere that you'll fall on your knees and ask Christ to forgive you and come in your heart, He will. I pray as the pastor preaches today that you might open your heart and listen to Him, because what a wonderful life it is spiritually since we've been saved.
Stay up here, brother. Diana, come on back here. I know you can see me up here because you got your surgery done, so come on up. Sit down here, brother. Pastor Tad was snooping around in your office one day, and he noticed that this year, come on up here, yeah. Behind every good man is a surprised mother-in-law. I'm sorry, and a great woman. And so Pastor Tad's snooping around, and he says, hey, do you realize I was looking at the plaque there on Eddie's wall, and now it's been 45 years. So if the plaque on your wall's wrong, then maybe we're wrong. But it's been 45 years. And we wanted to honor your 45 years of ministry today. And so, Pastor Tad, if you bring up, we have flowers for Diana. And then from Oramundo Ministries, which is where Eddie is currently serving, we have a plaque here from Oramundo presented to Eddie Woodfield for 45 years of faithful service in Italy, Spain, and Mexico. With love and appreciation from your Oramundo Ministries co-laborers. And so on. And then, that one's pretty, but I think this one's prettier. Because it's from us, beloved, to Eddie and Diana Woodfield. says 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful, commemorating 45 years of faithfulness in gospel ministry to the Lord Jesus Christ, 1973 to 2018. So. Done yet. Am I on one? No. Okay. I've turned this on in case we need it. We had some folks send some letters in, and I told Pastor Tad pick out two of the best ones, and we'd read them this morning, because Eddie and Diana have tried to honor Christ with their life. And so we want to honor Christ and what he has done through Brother Eddie and Diana. And I told Pastor Tad, I said, don't let me read them. Because he told me he put a knife in his heart and he says, oh, they're gut-wrenching. I said, well, don't let me read them because I'll boo-hoo through them. But I'm going to read them for the first time here. But just personally, Brother Eddie, you have been a huge blessing to me as a first-time pastor here. You've been patient and kind and gentle and giving advice to me, and I really appreciate you and Diana. So we have a letter here from Brian and Sherry Stensis, and if you remember, we supported the Stensis for many years. They were in Africa for many years planting churches. Now he is teaching at a Bible college, and so we no longer support their ministry since they're paid for by the Bible College, but we supported them for many years here at Faith Baptist Church. And Brother Brian sent this letter. It says, when I think of Brother Eddie, my thoughts go to Africa, and I think of all those who have put their faith in Christ. I think of all the churches that have been started and are still going. See, it doesn't work. It's terrible. Is there tissues? No? All right. I'll just use my tie. Not only the ones we have started, but the ones started by my children and all the souls they have won. I think of my grandchildren who are serving the Lord and are in the ministry. I'm reminded that all my children are serving the Lord. Thank you. I thought I could get through the first paragraph anyway. Gracious. Three who are missionaries in Uganda, East Africa, and one who's pastoring in Eaton, Ohio. When I think of Brother Eddie, I think of my wife and myself and where we would be if it had not been for Eddie and Diana. My mind goes back to September 21st, 1975, when an old drinking buddy had talked me into going to Bethel Baptist Church, where I saw my first missionary, Brother Woodfield. As he preached the Word of God, I was convicted of my sin, and that day I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I watched as Eddie taught and preached the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I did not realize it at the time that he was teaching me a skill that I would use in my personal life, in my ministry, and finally as a professor in Bible college. I was learning how to study the Bible. I remember how he discipled my wife and I and was always ready to answer any question we had. I remember after I got out of the military and away from the Lord that he and Diana went out of their way to come up to Kansas to help us and encourage us to do right. He got on the phone and called the Tennessee Temple Bible College and got me enrolled. To be honest, all I could think of was that that phone call was costing me money I did not have. And for you young folks, it used to cost money for long distance calls. Okay. And so, just to understand, we didn't always have unlimited everything. So he's worried about that. But as he helped us step out by faith, God not only paid for the phone call, but also to move us to Chattanooga and all the way through school. After graduation, God gave me the privilege to work with Eddie and Diana for many months until God called him to Sicily. Time will not permit to tell me of all the funny stories that could be told, the counsel and encouragement they have given, and the example Eddie and Diana have been throughout our lives and ministry. I owe my eternal life to Jesus Christ, but he used Brother Woodfield to bring that wonderful message to me. I'm proud to call Eddie my father in the faith and my friend. congratulations, and thank you for the many years of faithful service to our Lord. All right, you can hold that one. We have others. All right. This is Art and Emily Wrigley's story about Eddie and Diana Woodfield, as told by Art. In February 1989, we were missionaries with Baptist Mid-Missions. We returned to Italy after a furlough to visit supporting churches in the States. The night we landed in Rome, we got word that my dad had died, and we were saddened by this. We resumed our work in Toronto, Italy, reaching Italians for Christ. The cool, wet winter caused Emily and me to experience arthritic muscle pains in the arms and hands, and we were further discouraged. In nearby villages, Eddie and Diana were building a church among American servicemen stationed on a small Air Force base near San Vito dei Normanni. And Bob and Jane McCaskill were starting a church among Italians in Massagne. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Thank you for being gracious. Eddie and Bob contacted us to see if we could work together as a team. We saw that we were all of like faith and practice and could work together. God sped up our plans to move closer to them when we found out our apartment had to be vacated and there was not another space available where we were. That summer, we moved to a farmhouse near Massagne. The McCaskills were needing to return to the States, so asked us to take over the small church they were starting. My four sons and I decided to remove trash that accumulated in a nearby field so we could set up a softball field and reach Italian youth there. Eddie had given us a supply of softball equipment that he had on hand. That Tuesday, September 26th, while we were working, a sudden storm blew in from the Adriatic Sea. It came in and left all in 30 minutes, as they often do, since Massagne is only 10 miles from the Adriatic as the crow flies. One bolt of lightning hit the area during the quick storm. Unfortunately, it hit a pine tree that I was standing near while holding a large piece of tin roofing. I only remembered that one instant I was walking to a trash pile, and the next I was vomiting on the emergency room table at the hospital in the village of Massagne. My heart and breathing had stopped, but my son Jonathan, age 15, had performed CPR that I had taught him. The neighbors had called for an ambulance, and it quickly arrived. This kept me alive enough to get to a hospital where they injected a stimulant into my heart to stabilize it. Bob and Jane McCaskill had not left Italy yet. Emily sent our oldest son, Tim, on a bicycle into Massagne to ask the McCaskills for help. Tim told what had happened. Eddie and Bob went to the hospital while Jane drove to our house and got Emily and took her to the hospital. The emergency room doctor told Eddie and Bob that I would not live and that they needed to decide who would be picking up the body so it could be shipped to the States. When Emily arrived at the hospital, the emergency room doctor told her that I would be fine and that she should just go home. 3 days later, I had gotten better to the doctor's surprise and was discharged from the hospital. It took me a year to completely recover. After the McCaskills left, we kept working in Massagne. I was limited in what I could do because of the damage to my arms. We were getting more discouraged. The dingy walls of the house we were in were long overdue to be repainted. As I began painting, a car drove up. Eddie got out of the car and knocked on the door and asked, "Hey Art, can I help you paint?" Eddie and I painted and talked all that day. I knew that Eddie had a lot of his own work that needed to be done, and I asked Eddie, "Now tell me, why are you here painting my walls when I know you have a lot of work to do on your own?" Eddie replied, "Maybe I should have you read. Art, the work here in Italy can get discouraging. I just want to be a blessing to you. I don't want anything from you. I want God's blessing and encouragement. And God has taught me that that comes when I'm helping others and forgetting about myself." Eventually, Eddie and Diana left to work in northern Italy. Before they left, Eddie preached a lot of really good sermons. Eddie and Diana lived what they taught. This has been a tremendous lesson in life for us. So, we're thankful for you, Eddie and Diana. And you've impacted eternity to the glory of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. All right.
Bill, and I think a very appropriate